Welcome to this morning's special hybrid version of Talk Shop, as we'll be touching the bases on the elected situation, and we'll also be having Virginia Bass come in the second half of the program. So it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that on this Wednesday, the day after the elections, Wednesday, November the 5th. Make it the 4th. I was looking at the wrong calendar. We've got a number of different measures locally that were requiring simple majorities. Others were needing more. And it was really interesting. If you go to the website, KINS1063.com, and link to the Humboldt County election results, the differences in the trends, the voting by mail versus election day voting, and then the early voting, all three of those categories were tracked separately. And there were some significant changes, significant differences based on the profiles of the different groups that were voting. As an example, we could go to Measure A in Arcata. The vote by mail was at 80% in favor. Election day voting was 72% in favor. And then those that just voted early, dropping their ballots off rather than by mail, it was down to 67%. So a swing there of 13% just based by the different groups. So I'm sure that there'll be plenty of folks looking at that, pondering, trying to figure out how those tea leaves read. So we'll get into the specific measures, and I think probably the easiest way to do this would be just to simply try to do it alphabetically. I may miss one or two in the equation, but you know, we'll catch up. By the end of this segment, we'll have all of this, and then the second segment, we'll go through the various supervisorial and city council races and school boards and things of that nature. So hopefully we'll be able to touch it based on everybody's area of interest with the elections here in Humboldt County. We won't be bothering with how Humboldt County went on the state propositions, because we're still Humboldt County, and that part, you know, we don't move the needle too terribly much. So let's start with Measure A in the city of Arcata. It was a special tax that, if passing, would add $37 parcel tax annually for Arcata landowners, and those dollars would go to fund city parks specifically and exclusively. And that was going to require two-thirds to pass. And it did rather easily, with 78.37% voting in favor. Pretty much across the board, everybody was, whether you voted early, whether you voted on election day, or you turned in your ballots, that was consistently something that was supported by Arcata voters. Measure B also was in the city of Arcata, and that would allow the city to build and finance additional affordable housing. This particular measure also passed, with over three-quarters of Arcata voters voting in favor. 77.26% voted in favor of Measure B, little over 4,000 versus 1,100 voters that were in opposition to that. The next measure, Measure C, which would approve rank voting. Now, 61.41% of all voters casting their ballots voted for that. And this is one that really saw a significant swing. Voting by mail, 63.5% voted in favor of that. Those who voted on election day, very small number in relative comparison, 53% voted in opposition. And then those who voted early, dropping their ballots off, 58% were opposed to that. But voting by mail was such an overwhelming number, 6,500 people approximately versus less than 1,000 voting in the other two options. 61.41% voted in favor of Measure C. We're still trying to do a little bit of digging on that to see if it was a simple majority or if that, in fact, was going to require a two-thirds, because it was an amendment to the charter, and that's really kind of a narrowly defined area. So we'll get an update on that one to you a little bit later on. Measure D, which would authorize a school bond sale for South Bay and Pine Hill schools. Measure D had 60.29% voting in favor of it, and it needed 55%. So the school bond measure, one of the axioms is a lot of folks have never seen a school bond measure that they didn't like. Certainly was the case here in the South Bay Union School District with last night's tabulations. That one passed. Measure E, which would continue the sales tax in Trinidad, was never really in question as it passed, rounded off with almost three-quarters voting in favor of the extension in Trinidad for the sales tax. Measure F, which was the one that got an awful lot of attention, that was on the ballot in springtime and just didn't quite make it. This time, handily made it. The folks in the fire district, I guess a little bit more of the educational campaign, made it happen for them. 75% passed or voted in favor of and allowed Measure F to pass. That they needed two-thirds, just missed it last time. Certainly a wide margin of success with Measure F voting this time around. Measure G, which would extend the 0.75% sales tax in Fortuna into the year 2033. So this is a 12 years from now. However, it was a 10-year extension on the previous one. In a previous talk shop, City Manager Merritt Perry was talking about wanting to get out in front of this, so they had a couple of years, if it didn't pass, to be able to implement the changes that were necessary. But he didn't have much concern or much to be concerned about because Measure G passed with almost 70% in favor of that extension. So Fortuna will continue to see that. Measure H in Eureka, that was the fire district, and a lot of the other governmental units that would extend the current sales tax. Measure H in Eureka passed 67.27%. So it made that two-thirds threshold, and that will continue to be present in the city of Eureka. Measure I, which would allow the County of Humboldt to build and finance additional affordable housing, and Measure I in Humboldt passed with, well, fairly narrow, 67.96, and that needed two-thirds also. So the affordable housing for Humboldt County is in play also. When we come back, we'll look at how the individual candidates ran, and we'll also do a quick overview of how the state of California went with the statewide propositions. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's 8:24 this morning as the fog is rolling in. A little bit of change of plans. There are so many different local candidates. Rather than going to the state propositions where you can find those rather readily, we're going to try to get as many of the local races with individuals running rather than going with the statewide propositions. Some of those obviously are already been discussed and pointed out at the state level with CBS and you'll be able to find that information in a lot of places. So we're going to start with some of the school boards, as there were quite a number of those that were in contention. In Cutton, both Becky Reese and Beth Johnston were winners last night for the school board. In Blue Lake, for their school board, they had both Lisa Hooven and Jennifer Mager being voted in for the school board election in Blue Lake. Klamath Trinity, they had Barbara McCovey was elected with almost two-thirds of the voters. Southern Humboldt in their unified school district. Cinnamon O'Neill Paula and Jessica Willis both were elected. Willis beat out the next by just 33 votes. So we have a couple of examples of that in Humboldt County, where just a few votes made a difference between winning and losing. Fortuna Union had Kendra Gumieres and Gianna McClendon were both voted in there. Northern Humboldt Unified, Cedric Aaron and Aristia Salisbury were the two winners in that election. In the Ferndale Unified, Cliff Titus and Julie Hageman were the two that were voted in last night and yesterday and for the preceding couple of months. Arcata School District, this is for the trustee Area 4. Brian Hudgens won with almost 70% in that race. Pacific Union School District, Rhonda Halleck and Joe Kentenge were the two that were put into office. The McKinleyville Union School District, Nicholas Somm and Manuel Fonseca were the two that were voted in. Fonseca won with a margin of 35 votes over Rachel Hicks. Another close race in our area. Hydesville, Laurie Newman and Mandy Marquez both were put into office. And we move into the city council races, and those are a little bit different. We have got in Arcata Stacy Atkins Salazar, Emily Grace Goldstein, and Sarah Schaefer were the three that were voted in out of a slate of over 10 candidates. In Blue Lake, three of the four candidates were elected, as there were three seats that were open. Adelaine Jones, Summer Doherty, and Olivia Obadiah were the winners. In the city of Eureka, Ward 2, Katie Moulton won with 42% of the vote. And in Ward 4, Scott Bayer won with almost 44% of the vote, easily outdistancing the next opponents. In Ferndale, Robin Smith had 11 more votes than Don Hindley in the race for the mayor. In city council, Leonard Lund and Philip Osler were the two that were voted in, each with approximately one-third of the vote in their favor. In Fortuna, Tammy Trent and Mike Losey were the two winners. Rio Dell had the precise number of candidates running for the number of positions that were available, so everybody was a winner in Rio Dell last night. In Trinidad, David Grover was able to garner nearly 80% of the vote. He's going to be the new city councilman, along with Stephen Ladwig and Jack West. So we've got those three folks going in as council members in Trinidad. The Humboldt Community Services District directors Heidi Benzinelli joins Michael Hansen and David Soderson as the three new board members there or director positions. In the McKinleyville Community Services District, former director Greg Orsini decided he hadn't had enough of the services district. He's now on the board rather than as a staff member, and he's joined by Scott Binder. In the McKinleyville Community Services District, this is the two-year position, Jolene Clark Peterson was the one who captured nearly two-thirds of the overall vote, and she will be filling out the term in that two-year slot. In the Willow Creek Community Services District, three candidates got positions. Judy Gower, Tyler Holmes, and Shannon Hughes were the three that garnered the most votes there. And in the Shelter Cove area at the Resort Improvement District, David Sommer, Celeste Myers, and Susan Fox were all winners. And then the final race for that we haven't touched on yet is the supervisor race for District 2 between Michelle Bushnell and Estelle Fennell. And Estelle Fennell is returned to office with a 51.67% of the vote as contrasted to the 48.33%, a total margin of less than 250 votes on 7,000 that were cast. So Humboldt County had its share of close races, as did some of the national races that we're still kind of waiting and wondering what the outcome will be. And certainly we invite you to continue to tune in to our station throughout the day and the days to come as things kind of settle their way out as part of Election 2020. So that kind of wraps up the local stuff. Stay tuned. We've got Rush coming up in about half of an hour. And Ben, I'm sure there'll be lots of discussion about what happened in the state during Ben Shapiro's program. Rush will be touching on current updates on the federal level as well. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:37. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. So, Virginia, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, we certainly have not had weather issues this year. Haven't had them for the last little bit. What are you guys looking at as far as, I know we're only a couple months into the new fiscal year, but we're kind of getting halfway close to the make or break for a lot of stuff with Christmas. What's the CAO's office projecting? What's the state projecting as far as revenue streams?
Yeah, do I look like the financial analyst here?
I'm hoping that because you are one of the five that are in charged with monitoring this stuff, that you are.
But that's digging in the weeds when we don't have that information yet. You know,
the state saying that things are going along better than expected, or they're tanking, and we're going to have to start revisiting the budget and go through some of that stuff.
We're already expecting to have to go through that. But when you're talking about, you know, Christmas, and I'm thinking retail and all that, I think it's really hard to call on that.
That's 2.5 weeks away.
I know, but okay. So many people do the online, and at least now we get taxes from that. But trying to guess, you know, are people going to go out and spend? You know, my hunch is they probably are because they've been stuck home and haven't, you know, that might be a thing of feeling normal, right? You know,
yeah, everybody wants Christmas this year.
So they want them, and for my Christmas, which is my birthday, I just want next year to get here really fast. I'm tired of this year.
That's your Christmas wish?
Yeah, but you know, I think we can be hopeful, but I haven't seen any actual, and I haven't seen it from state associations either. I think we're also buried in the COVID, that is mostly the type of information we're dealing with, because it's the thing that is right in front of our face, you know.
Well, what are you hearing about the virus?
Well, you know, as of this moment, considering a lot of other places, we've been doing pretty well. But, you know, I think we just have to be really careful. If we continue doing, you know, doing well, then I think there's going to be a lot of more hope for spending in that last part of the year and for people to actually be moving about. You know, I look at other places, like when Shasta had that outbreak of like 230, they almost had to go back to the level where they would have had to shut things all down again. Luckily, the state has now come up with something we call the Shasta rule, which we'll all take advantage of if we have to. But they recognize that Shasta was actually doing much better, you know, following that and tracking and stopping the infection spread.
I mean, other than that one gathering there from that church, yeah.
Well, and there's at the same time, there was also a rest home that also was part of
yes.
that.
Yes.
So, you know, it's, I think for us, you know, if people, you know, just kind of like don't go all out and crazy. I mean, I've already been invited to some holiday parties, and I'm going, you know, I don't know if that's such a good idea. And who knows what's going to happen, but I'd like to think that most people are going to try to at least, you know, you hate to keep your guard up all the time, but I do worry with the flu season coming on. It may not be COVID that ends up, you know, the primary, you know, bad guy, but COVID and flu together, to me, I'm concerned, you know, and so I'm just kind of, you know, I figure I'm going to stay in this cocoon for a few more months, if not more. And
I heard something last week. I think it was Thursday or Friday. They were talking about population shift changes that have been going on over the last 6 months, and that there's, I don't want to use the number because it doesn't seem like it would be viable. It would seem too high, but a significant percentage of the population is it's shifting from the urban centers to the rurals, not suburbia, but the rurals like where we are.
Right.
And the thing that really struck the presenter, I think it was in a news format, was that the distance was averaging over 4 hours away. So it wasn't like moving to the county next door. It was like getting out of Dodge.
Yeah.
That kind of seems to be what's at play here from what I understand from some realtor buddies. My question is, okay, with the planning and building department, which I know is underneath your tent, are we ready? If there's a whole bunch more construction demand in the county, you know, I know you guys have got people there for the pot farmers. Is there anybody there as this thing continues to grow and escalate, and the demand is there, and there will be pressures to build more in McKinleyville, or maybe out towards Oreck, or in southern Humboldt, or just outside of Fortuna?
Well, there could be. You know, there's challenges when you talk about going into the further hinterland areas. You know, it's a challenge anyway to try to build out there because you don't have, you know, you don't have the water, you don't have, you know, so we can assume that if people buy property and do want to build out there, they're going to have some, you know, probably it's going to take some time. I think you could bring up a good point, you know, if we do start seeing that, do we have the ability to ramp up? It could be that we retain consultants right now to do some projects, especially with the cannabis division, and that might be what we need to do, you know. I'm kind of wondering, too. It's like, okay, so there's not even that many homes available for sale. They seem to be disappearing. You know, you get the thing in the newspaper, and all the pictures already say sold on them.
Yeah.
Right. And so things do seem to be moving fast.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about others coming in necessarily buying undeveloped lots. So,
right. It's folks coming here buying homes, and obviously they would rather have a home than to camp out on the field. Okay,
you know,
we'll continue with this one in a sec. It's 8:44.
Okay. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass, who I just cut off, but she's back, so no harm, no foul.
I will hold it against you for the rest of my natural life.
Oh, I would suspect nothing less.
And into the future life.
There you go. All right, you'll be waiting for me, huh?
Yeah. Concept of, you know, it'd be interesting, you know, Samoa is getting ready to kind of, they're ready to take off.
Right.
You know, they've got their plans. I do know some other developers who have been working on some fairly, not large initially, but over, you know, phases, fairly large. So, you know, there are things already working through the pipeline as far as more building, but you know, it's kind of like, do you build a they will come, or do you how you know, which is it, what way do you go? But it'd be interesting to actually have some type of count of what we believe to be expected housing built given what we already know on certain projects.
Well, I would think that, you know, like the Board of Realtors, as an example, would have a pretty good sense. Or you could call your three or four more recognized realtors and say, give me a feedback. Give me feedback. What do you sense? You know, in 5 years, do you think this is going to continue? Because certainly the prices are indicating that not only are we in demand, but we also have short supply. Well,
right.
You know, that I would think is going to either translate into a bunch of rentals now being owner-occupied and after being flipped, or new construction.
Yeah, you know, I think, because I was actually spent some time with one of the realtors you probably were alluding to, and, you know, we talked about people coming up here, and, you know, actually I had another conversation just earlier this week with someone. I think right now we're not really sure what that's going to look like. I have not had anyone, you know, they gave me the prognostication of 5 years from now. I think they probably need to see a little bit more of a trend because, you know, this is still kind of a developing situation, I think. And we know it's going to happen to some extent. It's going to be, you know, the crystal ball and trying to do, you know, go the right direction because you want to have the ability to have people live here, right? If they want to move here.
Yeah, you want to be ready to accommodate, yeah.
You know, there's some people who don't want anyone to even find Humboldt County. And, you know, I think it wouldn't hurt to have, you know, some new folks here. It wouldn't be good if you all of a sudden, you know, you don't want to see us. I don't know if we'd ever turn into something like a Santa Rosa. Because that's, you know, people say, I don't want to be a Santa Rosa. It's like, well, you know, we're not.
Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think we have to accept the fact that, you know, we live in a beautiful place. We live in a place that, compared to a lot of other spots in California, is proving to be fairly, you know, mostly untouched by fire. But we have earthquakes. We haven't had a big one of them. Well, gosh, now that I said that, I probably jinxed this. But we have not. And once you, you know, once we have that, then who knows whether, you know, it's hard to say, you know, especially when you're talking natural disasters.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, we're so far away from anywhere that, you know, Santa Rosa, I would be really curious, and I guess this will be kind of how we wrap this up, to find out how many people in Santa Rosa or Sonoma County work in Marin or in San Francisco counties.
You know, I think there is actually a database on that.
Oh,
I
is know there? That would be interesting. Just
yeah, well, we have a database. You know, we know how many people, like, from, like, Delmar County work in Humboldt County. You know, they do have, there's tracking for that through, I think, the economic folks.
Well, but, see, now you're getting back into the weeds, and I appreciate you trying to go there, and maybe next time you'll be ready for me, huh?
Well, next time, let's get something. I'm going to come up with the questions next time.
Fair enough. And have a good Thanksgiving, because I'm not sure we're going to be on air before then. So do the turkey thing. Thanks for coming by, Virginia.
All right.
All righty. Bye-bye.